Elliot Friedman drops by once again to kick off the program. Elliot, good afternoon. And the news just breaking
good
before
afternoon.
We came on the air. Yeah, Kevin Cheveldayoff, the NHL clearing the Winnipeg Jets general manager. On first glance, and I haven't really had much time to think about the logic behind this, but would I be right in your estimation in assuming that what we're looking at here is reporting obligation or reporting duty, and the NHL is maintaining here that since Cheveldayoff wasn't a member of senior management, he did not have reporting obligation or reporting duty, unlike Stan Bowman, John McDonough, etc.?
You know, I don't know. I'm not prepared to say that. I think a deeper explanation is needed, and clarity is needed on what the difference was here. And, you know, like the thing that I'm still not at all accepting of in this situation is the difference between Cheveldayoff's statement from July and the fact he was in the room when that meeting was held. Like, that statement in July was written by a lawyer, and a very good one, because it basically rides the line between, you know, completely misleading people and being factual. It is factual, but it's misleading. And, you know, so I would like to hear more. I don't think this, like, I do think that there should be a public airing out of what is different in this particular case and why it's felt that maybe that he wasn't in a position where he should have reported it. I'm really curious about it, and I think we should be able to hear more.
So this story continues. I would imagine at some point, perhaps today, Kevin Cheveldayoff, I would assume that he would release some type of statements.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's going to satisfy anyone. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, in the, like I don't know if that's. I mean, I guess I'd wait to hear a statement or an explanation. But I have to say that right now I am unsatisfied. I'd like to know what the difference is.
Yesterday, Joel Quenneville resigned, which I don't think surprised anybody. I think we knew going into this meeting with Gary Bettman that the punishment was going to be both swift and severe. And the punishment is essentially expulsion from the NHL pending approval from the commissioner. Like, if you want to come back, you need to go through the commissioner's office. Andrew Burnett takes over behind the bench in an interim capacity. The search has begun for a full-time head coach for the Florida Panthers, who are still one of the best teams in the NHL, maybe the best team in the NHL right now. How did you see the Joel Quenneville situation? I think we're all still scratching our heads thinking, you know, why was he allowed behind the bench against the Boston Bruins in the first place? But that's a sidebar to this. Joel Quenneville gone from Florida.
Yeah, I think we're all, as you said, I think we're all kind of scratching our heads over the one-game coaching. Although I would suspect, I think I mentioned to you yesterday, just talking to a buddy of mine who's an HR lawyer, that he thinks that must have been a procedural thing. Yeah. I don't know if we're all very sympathetic to lawyers, but I think we all, I do understand what he's saying to me. But I don't think anybody is surprised that that happened. I think one of the, you know, we've all talked about, you know, where this is going to go and where this is going to take us. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting here is that, you know, Stan Bowman made it very clear in his statement where he thinks the ultimate blame lies. And Joel Quenneville made it very clear in his statement where he thinks the ultimate blame lies. And, you know, one of the things, and I know that some of us had referred to it over the years, about the Chicago winning their Stanley Cups, was they did it while their front office and their coaching staff and their upper management, they weren't on the same page. You know, there was a lot of internal strife there between them, just on day-to-day operations and the overall direction of the hockey team. And it's pretty clear now that during the investigation and all their various interviews, that all came pouring out. And it's clear now by Bowman's statement and by Quenneville's statement that like basically they've laid that all out as they exit here. And I don't think anybody's surprised that this is what happened. I think we all kind of saw the writing on the wall. And I, you know, as for their coaching search, you know, there was a report last night from Kevin Weeks saying that Tortorella could be a candidate. I don't know what to say. I've had two really good sources today give me complete opposite ends of the spectrum on that one. I've had one of them say, and these guys are both pretty smart. Mm-hmm. I've had one of them say that he's heard that Tortorella won't be the guy. And I've had another one say to me that he thinks Tortorella will be the guy and sooner rather than later. So, you know, if Florida's trying to misdirect people here, they're at mm-hmm. least doing a good job of that.
You know, back to the issue about that front office being in disarray while they were winning Stanley Cups. It wasn't exactly a secret, and this was referenced often in public on radio shows, podcasts, not unlike this one, that the Chicago Blackhawks were essentially wanting to fire Joel Quenneville, waiting to fire Joel Quenneville. The problem with Joel Quenneville was he kept winning Stanley Cups. And they couldn't find the moment to do it. Like, you're right. Like, that office was in disarray. But I would even make the argument that that office was in disarray going back to when, you know, Dale Tallon was ousted and there was the,
yep.
you know, the qualifying offers not sent out. And ultimately, who had responsibility for that? Was it the general manager, Dale Tallon? Or was it the assistant general manager, Stan Bowman? Was it deliberate sabotage, QOs left in the drawer, all types of conspiracy theories about how they got Dale Tallon out? It seemed as if, you know, during that entire era, that was a Tarantino movie. That was
which one?
Seeing Reservoir
which
Dogs.
Which one are you picking?
Reservoir yeah. Dogs specifically, with everybody pointing yeah. a gun at each other, trying to, you know, politic the other person out for their own benefit. Like, that was very much like that was a Lord of the Flies kind of front office, didn't it? Didn't you get that feeling? Certainly vis-a-vis the coach and the general manager.
Well, I think even going up above that, like, there were, you know, people accusing each other of having spies. There are various spies around, like in the front office and on the coaching staff. Like, you know, it's the kind of thing, you know, when I remember saying, I can't remember when I said it, but I remember saying at one point, like, I can't believe how much dislike and angst and subterfuge there is on a team that won 3 Stanley Cups. You know, usually when you have that, it rips an organization apart, and they still found a way to do it. But yeah, that was definitely all true. I mean, I don't know, like I just think that all of that happened back then, it's obviously still a factor now, because in these interviews, it's pretty clear with the investigation that they laid it all on the line about how they really felt about each other. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't know, I'm still surprised. I'm still surprised by today's announcement, and I definitely like a lot more clarity. I really would.
One of the things as well, Rocky Wirtz writing a letter to Lanny McDonald, chairman of the Hockey Hall of Fame, to have Brad Aldrich's name removed from the Stanley Cup. We talked about this yesterday, having, you know, getting the Basil Pocklington treatment, have it X'd out. Which I'm in favor of more than just erasing. I think that it should be X'd out, just so it's there as an indication that there's a story. And so when mm-hmm. people look at the Stanley Cup, they can point at something and say, well, why is that name X'd out? And then we can mm-hmm. you know, tell the story about 2010 and that team mm-hmm. and what happened. So it seems as if that's going to happen. And listen, there's going to be plenty of conversation about, you know, should Bowman have his name removed, Quenneville, all of them. Like, that is all going to be part mm-hmm. of the conversation here. But as you mentioned yesterday, whatever about process, just this is the easy one. Just this needs to be done ASAP. And it looks like the Chicago Blackhawks are getting that done.
Yeah, I'm not really like I'm not really crazy about. I mean, again, it's a lawyer thing. You've got to make sure you follow the proper process. But I mean, the least they can do is this, and it should be done. And if you want to X out instead of erase, you know, I'm good with that. I wouldn't, argue it either way. I think there's no problem at all with Xing it out if that's what you prefer. But, like I said, I think like the one thing about this story is that, Jeff, it's not over. More details are going to keep seeping out. We're going to see where this goes to the NHLPA. We're going to see where this goes through others around the team. If you were to tell me right now that this isn't the last conversation that we're going to have about names coming off the cup and things like that, I think it's possible. I still don't think we know where we're going here exactly.
No, and we haven't. We talked about this, I think, yesterday, I believe. I mean, everything's so foggy in the past couple of days. But, we haven't heard from John McDonough yet. We don't know what he would say about this entire situation. We don't know what happens now with Donald Fehr. And, someone, asked me today, well, if any communications, if anything like this is communicated to Donald Fehr, does it automatically go to the NHL? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer that if a player comes forward to the NHL Players Association, does that information automatically also go to the NHL? Is that an agreement? Is that a professional courtesy? I don't know. I don't know the dynamic. That's one of my questions through all of this.
When it comes to the NHLPA thing, I think one of the biggest questions everybody's asking right now is, was the doctor the only person that was told?
Mm-hmm.
Was it only the two of them, or did other people know? And, I think that that's a very fair question to ask. And, I think this is still going to go a lot of different places.
Cal Beach yesterday released a statement as well. I have immense gratitude for the outpouring of endless love and support that has come through the past 48 hours. Although the results of the private investigation have been released and the Blackhawks have apologized, my battle is really just beginning as the Blackhawks continue to attempt to destroy my case in court. While I take this time to reflect and continue the healing process, it is a reminder that this is not about me as an individual. This is to promote open communication that will facilitate change for the future, to promote safety as well as the health and well-being of society as a whole. Okay, turning away from this one, but the story, as we mentioned, is far from over. More shoes will
drop, not going anywhere. Yeah.
Dropping this one to other hockey matters. Going into this week, and you talked about it on Hockey Night on Saturday, we thought something may happen with Jack Eichel. And here we are going through a week, and I know the Blackhawks have dominated this. The Blackhawks story has dominated the headlines, but... Boy, I seem to ask you this a lot. Do you know if we're any closer?
Are the Buffalo Sabres any closer? I think there's real work being done to try to facilitate a trade. I do think Buffalo and Vegas are talking very seriously. Put it this way, a lot of the people I normally talk to on this, and I haven't spoken to a lot of people this week because other more important things have obviously taken up the time. But they're quieter. And normally when people are quiet, one of three things is happening. They're on a plane with no wireless service, they're sleeping, or they don't want to talk to you because it's hot. And I would sense for the last couple of days, we've been part C. I think they're still working. I think they're working pretty hard at this. I think they're trying to find ways to see if they can get something done. And because I think everybody here wants to avoid the possibility of a grievance, which is hanging over this if this is not done in the next few days. So I think they're working at it. I think the Sabres and Golden Knights are really trying, and we'll see where we go here.
I was going to ask you, is the threat of a grievance or the whispering of a grievance the one thing that's moving this one forward? As we talked about at the beginning of the week, that's something that nobody wants. I think everybody just wants this one done. So are we to assume then that Vegas is fine with the desired surgery that Jack Eichel prefers?
Well, I just find it very hard to believe that any team would make this deal without him, right? I'm assuming that Vegas has done their due diligence. I think they're working on all of that stuff. you know, the one thing I had heard was that, you know, like, I think that the teams kind of, when one of the things that Pat Brisson did when he took over this account was he started to say, okay, we've got our own medical information. We're disseminating it to teams. I got to think that by now, if it's as close as, or as, if it's been grinded through as much as I think it has, that I think that, I think that Vegas would have access to everything. So, like, I don't see how you're making a trade for Jack Eichel right now.
I agree.
If you haven't worked everything else out. So yeah. I got to think that's sorted out.
Elsewhere, the big signing in Toronto today, 8-year contract extension for Morgan Rielly, 7.5 AAV. And as I was saying off the top of the show, in Toronto, they're sort of used to big, loud, drawn out, emotional roller coaster contract negotiations. This one was the Olympic diver, you know, into the pool without a ripple, and then boom, just announcement as an announcement as the diver comes out of the pool. A, what did you make of the style of how this went down? And two, the actual deal itself.
I think with this is that I think Rielly had made it clear he wanted to stay. And I think the Maple Leafs were in a position where they could say to him, look, if you really want to stay that much, here's what we can kind of do. And they found a way to make it work. I think the other thing, too, that's, you know, interesting here is that with Hyman, Toronto was not willing to do a no-move clause. I think that with Hyman, there was a question about, you know, someone said to me they're willing to give him a no move clause for 1 year. Other people told me they weren't even willing to do it for a year. So in Rielly's case, there's, I think, 6 years of a no move clause on there. And I think that's one of the things that Toronto was willing to do. Look, he could have gotten more on the open market, but he wanted to be here and they found a way to get it done. And everybody sits and says, okay, what about the cap? They don't have to worry about that right now. They'll worry about that in the summer.
I was going to say, what does this mean for some of the other high-priced help, specifically up front? If all of a sudden
better
Morgan
play well.
Is going from $5 million to $7.5 million, that doesn't leave a lot of money in. And listen, Jack Campbell, if they decide to go back to him, I mean, he's due a new contract in
the offseason. Yeah, and at the very least, they'll be looking at Cal Peterson 3x5, at the very least.
So that's, but to your point, I know that, you know, Dubas and company aren't thinking about, you know, what their summer is going to be like right now. Sure, they just beat the Chicago Blackhawks, but this is eventually going to be a situation that's gonna need to be dealt with. Okay, this is great. Freed, I know a lot of Chicago stuff this week, and the story is going to continue. Great stuff on the Jack Eichel front, and Vegas, to the best of your knowledge. Because we've heard, you know, whether it's Anaheim or Calgary or Rangers. You know,
I think it sounds to me like a lot of the attention is pointing towards Vegas, and there's reason to believe it. I mean, there could always be someone else, but there's reason to believe that the Golden Knights are the ones working the hardest.
And they have indicated previous that Peyton Krebs is not someone that they want included in any deal. I don't know about Nick Hague.
Well, I think what's
going to make it work for Buffalo.
One of the things that's happened here is that, you know, because this is dragged on for a couple days and it's starting to get out, people are being very careful about the names simply because they don't want it to get out in case it doesn't happen. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you mentioned it, like, you're the one who's throwing Nick Hague's name out there. Because you're the Nick Hague truther. But in the past, yes, Krebs has definitely been an issue.
I'm just saying, if I'm the Boston Bruins and Krebs is no fly zone, I'm like, all right, I'll take Nick Hague all day long. We've been through that one before. Okay, great stuff, Freach. We'll do a podcast later on tonight for release tomorrow, and then we'll be back on Hockey Night Saturday. Thanks, as always, for doing this.
All right, take care, my man.